brag about that, so. I keep hearing about this C.J. Mahaney. He must be a handsome rascal. Think so? And after that message, now I know why I have so much camouflage. Because I get home from Walmart and they got a sale on it. My wife will text me, when did you get this? I don't really remember. I don't know how it is here, but you can't live in Arkansas without going to Walmart. I told them to bury me at Walmart so my wife will come see me 3 or 4 times a week. Because that's sure fire that way. I'm glad I'm good on the internet. My step counter goes up sometimes when I'm at the buffet. But I go on the diet and KFC, they'll send me messages. Where are you? Every time you pick up that piece of chicken, this sensor goes off. And we want to know where you are. I refuse to believe that the colonel's not going to be saved. I'm just going to tell you. When I get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you can tell the Mahaney table because Colonel Sanders is going to be at the end of it. What an awesome word from God. Come on, we have to be men of God all the time. All the time. Even in secret. We have to be men of God. That's when it's the hardest. When nobody's looking. You're all alone. And the enemy will try to whisper in your ear. Nobody will know. Don't just think because a man's preaching that it doesn't happen to him. That's why we have to have integrity all the time. I thank the Lord for men of integrity in my life that have paved the way and shown me how to live. I'm not afraid of Brother Google or Sister Siri. And you better know what you're preaching about nowadays, because you people looking at their phone, they ain't looking at the scripture. They're on Google going, let me see what he said. I've had them come up, well, I Googled that, you was right. I always go, thank the Lord. I want us to stand one more time. I'm going to be reading from Joshua 7:16. And it's good to be in Washington. And good to see so many friends. And Brother C. Graves is one of my close friends. When I come here, I don't like staying in motel. I'd rather stay at his house because, man, his wife can cook. I'm just going to tell you. She makes diet food. Tastes good. Joshua 7:16. Nice suit jacket, Brother Schoonover. I like that color. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his donkeys and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And I want to talk to us about something. About there's always a price. There's always a price. And I want you to lift your hands. Begin to pray for me that I can convey what I'm supposed to convey in my inadequacies. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. I take dominion over spirits. If they're in this place that are not of you, they have to be silent. In the name of Jesus, touch my body, my mind, and my voice. Let the gifts of the Spirit operate. Begin to move upon us. I feel you right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak authority and dominion in this place. I love you, Jesus. Come on, just tell him, I love you, Jesus. You may be seated. Now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel have finally come to their promised land. Now, they have been through trials, tribulations, and they have finally arrived. And Moses, he's no longer with them. I told y'all I preach with Bible stories, right? Okay. I love Bible stories. He has died and he's been buried by the angels. Now they're under the leadership of Joshua, who Moses has taken and laid his hands and imparted to him. And he's ready to lead them to victory. And they have crossed the mighty Jordan on dry land. They didn't cross on mud. Come on. God doesn't do anything halfway. They didn't slip. They didn't, because they was on dry land. Can I tell somebody? If you'll just have faith and step out into your Jordan, my God will do the complete work. Come on, it won't be halfway. Come on, he'll completely heal your body. He'll completely put your home together. He'll completely put your marriage together. Now they're purified and they've been consecrated and they're ready to go and reap the spoils and take what God has promised to them. And now the hand of God is guiding them and they are faced with what the world thinks is an unconquerable situation, an unconquerable city called Jericho. It has its massive walls. It has its mighty army guarding it. And it seems as if it would be impossible for any army to ever come against it. But here they come, marching out of the valley to take what no ordinary army can take. But it was an army that served God. Come on. We're an army. Come on. We're an army that serves the one true God. Listen, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's not some second person in some Trinity. Come on. But my Jesus is the Father. My Jesus is the Son. My Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Come on, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Come on, we're one God. Jesus' name, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling men of God. These are people that have kept the commandments and statutes and stayed holy and separated. And now they're on their journey, led by God to go to battle. They're ready, and they have a battle plan. Now, I've never been in the army. I was in a Salvation Army a few times. Good soup. So I don't know why. I don't know, some of you guys are any ex-military in here. Y'all have had battle plans before. So they have a battle plan, but this one's designed not by generals. This one's designed by Jehovah. And he tells them to go and march 6 days around the city of Jericho. All right. Now, I'm sure some are going, really? That's not how we beat the giants before we came over here. We didn't march. But they listened to the man of God. And for 6 days, they marched around this mighty city in silence. That's how we know no women was... You chickens. You sissies. You don't want your wife. She knows she'll pick out that voice on this CD. Was you laughing? No doubt the enemy stood on these mighty walls, laughing, calling out insults to the children of Israel. But you know what they did? They just kept on marching every day for 6 days. And they didn't do it in their business casual outfits. Come on, they did it in full battle array, marching around in silence, carrying the Ark of the Covenant in the hot sun with the dust choking them. But they just kept marching because, you see, God had told them what to do, how to take this city. And they stood on the words of God and the words of the man of God. They didn't doubt it, trying to second guess it. Come on, I get tired of hearing, well, I don't know if that's a heaven or hell issue or not. I'm so sick of hearing that in apostolic circles. If your pastor preaches it under the unction of the anointing of God, my Bible says stubbornness is idolatry. And rebellion is the same sin as witchcraft. You just made it a heaven or hell issue. We need to get behind the ministry. Come on. He's preaching because God's given the man of God the words to say. And he's trying to help our family. He's trying to help us. Six times marching around in silence. But on the seventh time, it's about to be different. Come on, they're marching. You know, they're excited. It's the eye of the tiger. Probably wasn't singing that. Glad Brother Seagraves left. And this time, on the seventh time, they blew the trumpets. And this army of godly men gave a mighty shout. And the walls fell down. Come on, now, they were given specific instructions. They were not to spare anyone or anything, and not to keep any of the spoils, Joshua 6:16, because they were cursed. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Pretty specific instructions. So the battle is raging and victory is in the hands of Israel. And we see one warrior, a mighty warrior, in the heat of battle named Achan. He's from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of praise. And his eyes look upon a Babylonish garment. And he's caught up in the beauty of it. And as he reaches for this garment, he sees 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. Caught up with the beauty and greed, he hides it and he keeps it. He no doubt was thinking, it won't hurt. No one will ever know. Well, that's destroyed many a good man, hasn't it? No one's going to know what I'm looking at. I'll just keep it all hidden away. And no one will ever know what I'm doing. But you see, the next battle the children of Israel face is a small people at Ai. And after their mighty victory over Jericho, man, they're feeling tough. Well, I'm not even going to send out the whole army. I'm going to send out just the privates. We're going to send out the Salvation Army guys. We'll get them out of there. We'll get them out of their Santa suits and bells. That's what they always tried to do to me in Salvation Army. We don't even need the whole army. We'll just use this small group. But this time they went into the battle with sin in their camp. God's blessings was no longer upon them. Have you ever wondered why somebody always has victory? I'm about to get real for a minute here. And it seems like, well, I'm just not getting victory. Maybe there's sin in your camp. Battle after battle, it seems like I'm always getting beat down. When if we're not careful, we'll make things all right in our mind. When we actually know it's not all right. And before we know it, we're justifying everything. Well, that's not heaven or hell. They didn't know about that. That's legalism. That's this. That's that. And you have sin in your camp. And that's why instead of victory to victory, you're going from defeat to defeat. Come on, with no dominion. You get up to pray. You don't have the dominion that you used to have. See, my Bible tells me that I would that men pray everywhere. Not just at men's conference. Not just at Wednesday or Tuesday night service. Not just at Sunday morning or Sunday evening service. But that men would pray everywhere. Lifting holy hands in the sanctuary. Without wrath or doubting. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I felt the Lord speak to me about this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that wrath is not man's wrath. That's my wrath. Because my men are not lifting holy hands in the sanctuary because of what you're watching on your computers. Come on, if you can't control this, you need to throw it away and get a flip phone. Because what you're doing, you're walking into the sanctuary of God where people have needs, there's sickness. Come on, there's all kinds of needs in the church. You know that you're not living right, so you go up to pray for somebody with doubt. What's the opposite of faith? Come on, men, we got to stand up and be men of God. I just tell you, I was addicted to pornography almost my whole life until I got in church. I haven't looked at another piece since March of 2004 when I received the Holy Ghost. I haven't watched another movie. I haven't looked at another magazine. Don't tell me it can't be done. Come on, that's a lie from the devil. It can be done. You just got to step up and do it. Quit waiting on God to deliver you from that and deliver yourself. Be a man about it. You're just letting the devil in to ruin your marriage. Come on, to ruin your power in your church. Ruin all the authority that God's trying to give you. Oh, but I can't do it. I did it. And I feel that old nasty spirit when it tries to come up in my house or around me. Let me fill you in on what will help you. You see, when you look at pornography, it's the same pleasure endorphins as cocaine, meth. That's why you're so addicted to it. And when I feel that old spirit, and the last time I felt it was not too long ago, I was on Facebook. That was my first mistake. And I got a message. Oh, okay. And it was some woman in a gownless evening strap. I couldn't tell if she's trying to get in the dress or out of it. And I felt that old spirit. You know what I did? I shut my phone. I didn't rebuke my phone. I rebuked the spirit. And I began to pray against that spirit. Then you know what I did? I picked up my phone. And I was out of town. I called my wife. I said, Sandra, they sent me some bad picture. I'll save it for you on Facebook. And I want you to know, I want you to pray with me right now. Me and that woman of God begin to pray. See, that's how you're going to combat it. You've been trying it on your own too long. You need to find somebody that's accountable. And if you're married, that should be your wife. Because there should nothing be defiled in your bedroom. Come on, you shouldn't be looking at things that defiles anything that God has put together. The devil knows how to destroy us. He's made a lot bigger men than Nick Mahaney fall. So he comes at you just a little bit at a time until you're so embarrassed. Well, there's sin in the camp of Israel. Their enemy that they should have defeated puts a whooping up on them. Now, there's nothing more embarrassing than to be whooped by a little dude. I know. One of the most embarrassing times of my life. I don't look like it, but I used to take martial arts for a long time. See what it got you? So I couldn't wait to get to spar, you know. Because I was an old barroom brawler. And I fought all the time. I was a redneck, you know. That's what we did for fun. And I bugged our black belt until he said, all right, I got somebody you're going to spar with next week. Man, I was pumped up. If they wouldn't have smelled alcohol on me, I'd have been drinking back then. And when I got in there, I got all geared up, and he put me with a girl about that tall. About 90 pounds. I thought, whatever. I'm about to smash her. I never laid a hand on her. She kicked me in so many different ways. I was ready to wash her car. So this is what happens to Israel, Ai. Whoops up on them when they should have never even come close. So what does the man of God do? He goes and falls before the ark of the Lord. And God tells him, the reason this happened to you is there's sin in your camp. So the man of God begins to bring the families before him. Boy, how would you like that? and begins to question them. And Achan is brought before Joshua, and God reveals that's him. This is the cause of the sin being in the camp of Israel. And because of his sin, they take Achan and his family. They don't stop there. They take everything he owns. His dog, his cat, his sheep, his goats, everything to the Valley of Achor. And he has to watch as his children and wife, as the rocks hit him in the face and beats him to the ground. And with his last breath, all he's thinking is, because of my sin, look what's happened to my family. See, Israel was different from all the other nations because they were separate. When you read Israel in the Bible, you're reading us. Egypt, Babylon, always represents sin. And they were different in their dress, how they looked, how they worshiped, and their belief in one true God. Everyone around them believed in more than one God, but not Israel. Israel always stood with one God, Jehovah. And Achan, as he and his family were being stoned, they still believed in one God. That didn't change his belief. But he still, because he reached for the world, he lost himself and his family because he had to pay the price. See, the first thing Achan reached for was the Babylonish garment. Babylon in the Bible always represents everything Israel doesn't. Israel represents holiness, purity, sanctity, modesty, and separation. Babylon always represents sin and immorality, impurity, and anything goes. See, Babylon was really the first people that wore the bright colored makeup, if you start researching it, painted their nails, looked everything different than how Israel looked, very immodest. And then the second thing he reached for was the silver shekels. Silver shekels and half shekels always was the currency of the temple. When you brought money to the priest, it was always of silver. And it was most often in the form of a shekel of the sanctuary. Over and over and time again and through the word, it talks about the shekel or currency of the sanctuary. And then the next thing he reached for was the wedge of gold. Gold represents deity. That's why when the wise men came to bring gifts to Jesus, when he was born, they brought him gold. They were acknowledging his deity and his kingship. God's always represented by gold. That's why everything in the holies of holies was gold, because that represented the actual spirit and presence of God. We need to let Achan speak to us thousands of years later and teach us a lesson. Because everything's coming with a price. I see it all over America in our churches where we have slowly but surely fallen in love with the things of Babylon and the things of this world. We're reaching for things of this world without thinking of the price or what it's really going to cost. And it starts with us, men. It starts with us. The music we listen to. Whatever happened to not listening to ungodly music? Well, I listen to country. Well, that's even worse. You understand what they're saying in a country song? You're letting in things that have no place or business in your home and in your life. Do you not read how Satan was a prince of music? That's the last thing we need to have, is something that doesn't represent God and the church. And you better be careful about some of the things that they call gospel. Got some guy, because he can't make it in secular music, getting up in the morning going, "You know, I think I'll write a gospel music today." That's And we're all bouncing around as they're singing love songs about Jesus. Jesus isn't my lover. I'm not going to lay back against his chest and hear his heartbeat. Really? Now you see why I don't preach a whole lot of conferences. Nice seeing all y'all. Glad they got my tax form already. What we watch? My grandson wanted to watch a movie. I don't even remember what it was. And I said, oh, we'll have to see. We don't want any bad language. He goes, well, Papa, I don't think they say but one bad word in it. I said, Jonathan, one's too many. Come on, we got to be careful. I've been reading up and checking some things out that's going across the airwaves. Or I don't guess it's airwaves anymore, but. Everything's about men, women marrying women. And they're desensitizing our children to it. That it's all right if you're attracted to the same sex. No, it's not all right. I got to preach a conference in March up in Canada. And they said, be sure and don't say anything against the homosexuals. You're liable to go to jail. Y'all write me. I know Brother Hart will write me. I'm going to try not to, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm sick of this mess. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the smallest group in our population controlling everything that we do. They're shoving it down our throats in politics. You want to get people mad? Just talk against abortion. Just talk against same-sex marriages. I'm so sick of people telling me, well, I'm a Christian, but you vote for people that support abortion and homosexual marriages. You're known by the crowd that you keep. You better watch what's coming into your home. Games. I just got to the point, we don't have no games, no Xbox in my house. Because you know what it does? It leads to basketball's fine, but the next thing you know, they want some other thing with wizards and witches and blood and guts. And come on, we're men of the house, and there's a price you're going to pay. Come on, you may not see it right now, but you're opening up Pandora's box and spirits to come into your home and destroy your children. Gossip, talking about one another. What is wrong with you? We're not to have aught against our brother. If you do, you need to pray for forgiveness. Not for his forgiveness, for your forgiveness. That's how they knew they were apostolic, was because they were givers, they loved each other, and they forgave each other. Not how they dressed, not how they worshiped, not that we spoke in tongues. That was how they knew they were followers of Jesus. We got to dress modest. We get on to the ladies. I've seen guys go up to sing. Thank God we got a real music guy. You don't have to worry about what gender they are because their pants are so tight. We're just men in here, right? I hope. That's immodesty. Now it's all in style for your suits to not fit. Well, I'm finally in style. I can't hardly button any suit I got. Immodesty is not just the women. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Nature itself teaches us it's a shame for a man to have long hair. We want to come down on all our women, But the truth of the matter is, if they had a real man of God living in their house, showing by example how it's supposed to be, we'd have no problem with them, because God created them to follow us. Come on, men, be men of God in your home. You need to leave this place and you need to go start praying over your home first thing. And then you need to get rid of the things that are trying to come into your home, because there's a price that comes with it. So when you reach for the world, all that stuff I just talked about is what happens. But I've had them say, well, I'm just going to preach the message, but I'm not going to preach standards. Oh, sorry. That is the message. They followed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Paul said it. Come on, they tell us how to dress, how to live. That's part of our message. And if you'll watch, those guys end up giving away everything anyway. That's the silver, the things of the temple. Because when you reach for the world, the church always falls next. Every time you're reaching for the things of the world, the next thing to come is the things of the temple. Church hasn't changed. I get tired of people saying, well, church just isn't like it used to be. I beg to differ with you. You're not like you used to be. I still see them carried out drunk in the spirit. Come on, I baptized almost 900 people last year. I don't know how many got the Holy Ghost. Thousands. Church hasn't changed. I still see the blind eyes open. Come on, I see the deaf ears unstopped. Come on, we're the ones that's changing. We're trying to keep up and be politically correct. We're some guy sitting on a stool drinking coffee, and no telling what all's in his coffee. When the world is hungry for a man of God and for a move of God, they want to walk into a place and feel what I feel in this place right now. They're tired of walking into some dead, dried up church where if you say hallelujah, the deacons fall over with a heart attack. Come on, they want a move of God. They want a place to go. They can bring their drug addict son and God deliver them. Come on, they want a place to go where the men can lay hands on them and cancer has to flee. It wasn't too long ago, this precious woman, very dignified, she just falls out in the church, starts laughing. Y'all remember that? And it's so contagious. She got that laughing spirit, you know, we used to see when we was kids. You walk by, she's just laughing. And next thing you know, you're just laughing. We are too proud for that now. We used to be known as holy rollers. Not because we was on roller skates. Because they'd come to our churches and men would be rolling in the floor. Brother Pugh, when I was a boy, told me about when he was a young man, he went to, they called it Monkey Hill. That's where the apostolics were having a tent revival. So they could laugh at everybody and throw tomatoes when they came out. And he said, man, they called it Monkey Hill because they were jumping and running all over that tent. He said, but I felt something that I'd never felt before in my life. It wasn't long before he was one of those holy rollers. That's what they want when they walk into the door. Come on, they've already seen the fakes, the charlatans. They want to move a God. But when we begin to reach for the world, we lose those things. We lose the standards, the shekel. We lose everything that we've been brought up. See, there's a price that comes with our sin. Then the next thing to go is the deity or God. I've seen it too many times. Well, I'm not going to do this. As soon as they say that, guess what? Give them a year. Now, I don't want everybody to know I read a lot. It'd ruin half my material. But has anybody read about the seed bank? Man, you dummies. Man, see? Well, there's this bank. Let me tell you about it. It's in like Norway. See, I knew he was smart. And it's kept at a constant 40 degrees. And almost every country in the world has seeds placed into this bank, where if a natural disaster happens, they can go get seeds. Well, science has come up with these seeds called GMOs. Y'all ever see, hear about them? Genetically modified organisms. Now, they look like the seed that's in that bank. They produce like the seed that's in the bank. But their problem is they only have one harvest. See, we got so many guys preaching a GMO doctrine, genetically modified doctrine, when nothing's changed for 2,000 years. Come on, it still takes repentance for the remission of your sins. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Nobody was ever baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then it's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you how you know you got the Holy Ghost. You're going to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Come on, it hasn't changed. That's who we are. We got to realize, men of God, that's who we are. We are who we are created to be, and that's men of God. You go ahead and reach for the world. It'll look good for one season. But there's always a price. We live with this generation coming up. It's brilliant. Even you, bro. It was different. I'm 54. I don't even know what generation. I think I'm a baby boomer. I'm not. I'm a Gen X. I'm a Gen X. I have no idea. I'm going to figure that one out. But they're brilliant. They know. I was at the AT&T store because I got this phone, right? And it was the best that you could get at the time. Except for a month later. Them lying, dirty, rotten scoundrels. And I'm pretty good at dealing with things. I still don't know how I owe so much on this little phone. Brilliant. This guy opens up my phone, and man, he's doing things with it. And I'm going, man, no wonder it's so expensive. I didn't know it did all that stuff. But the problem is, we as men have not taught them on what it's supposed to be, what it's like to be apostolic. They are smart, dedicated. And if we will just teach them the Word of God, they are hungry for the miracles. They're hungry for blind eyes to be open. They're tired of hearing about it happening to their grandpas. They want to see it themselves. They just need to be shown the right way. So they need you, man of God, to be a man of God. And to teach them how to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't say just because you have to be a certain age to pray for somebody and God heal them of cancer. Come on, I had a bad fever not too long ago. My grandson's 10 years old. I said, come here, Jonathan, lay your hands on me. Boom, God healed me right then. Their faith is not like our faith. If we'll just show them the way, they got faith we've never even thought about. Come on, they got faith that's crazy. They're not afraid to pray for people.
Look at them. They're hungry right now to see a move of God. We can't afford to give up the things of this world and lose the things of the temple and lose out with God, because there's a price that's going to be paid. The next generation coming up is not going to have what they need to have.
If we don't consecrate ourselves, God's looking through this building right now. I know He's everywhere. I can start telling you scriptures. God looking down from heaven. God doing this from heaven. He's looking through this place right now. He wants this to be a different men's conference. Now, I wish He hadn't said all that, but I did know when He said, the Lord spoke to me, He said, you're going to preach at men's conference. And I'm not one to brag, you know. I was in the line at McDonald's, and God spoke to me, blah, blah, blah. A lot of that stuff is them wishful thinking. God spoke to me, because this is going to be a life-changing conference. Come on, God wants to baptize people in the Holy Ghost and in the water tonight in the name of Jesus. And just let me tell you, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, come on, we want to baptize you in Jesus' name. I'll baptize you. There's one from Brother Alan East's church that got the Holy Ghost last night. I know for sure. Come on. God is not through. If you've never spoken in tongues, or it's been a long time since you've spoken in tongues. I'm not big on the refill word. But I believe every once in a while you need a renewing and a refreshing. Supposed to bring a brother. You need to bring somebody tonight. Because we're not, this is the digging up. We're going to have evangelism tonight. Come on, God's going to heal the sick. People are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to work together as the body. And we're going to begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit. But first, we got to get our house right. I'm my worst enemy. Nick Mahaney is his worst enemy. The devil can use me against me if I'm not careful. And it starts with something that's so unassuming. Achan didn't think that beautiful garment was going to lead to one thing. But the devil knew there was silver and there was gold. Oh, it's not going to hurt just to go this one place one time. And you don't understand what's lying beneath it. And there's always a price. See, it's not just about me. I'm raising two kids. That price they'll have to pay because of me if I'm not careful. I talked about my son last night. The reason he's not in church is because he's never raised by a man in church. You got such a great opportunity to raise your young men and your young ladies in the truth. But if you don't, there's a price that comes with everything. This brother that was talking before us, my. If that made you nervous, you're probably looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Because I'm really not nervous about none of it. I'll give every one of y'all my stuff right now and you can look at it. You won't find anything. Because I'm more proud of what I do in secret than what I do out in the open. David said it like this. I was young. Now I'm old. But I never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. I'm going to close, but I want to tell you a quick story about that scripture and the revelation that God gave me. My father was preaching somewhere, and he was praying before church. Somebody seen he had holes in his shoes. So they went and bought him a big, you know, nice high-end pair of shoes. So the next revival we were at, I was just a little boy, they hadn't had anybody receive the Holy Ghost in many years. And my dad said, well, we're going to change that. He goes, I'm going to knock doors. We're going to get people in this church. And they said, Brother Mahaney, you go anywhere in this town you want, but see those apartments over there? We don't want you going over there. We don't like those kind of people. You can guess where my dad went. Straight across the street. Knocks on the first door, and the guy says, who is it? My dad said, police. He said, man, they were running out the back door. He said he could hear mattresses flipping, the toilet flushing. And this big giant guy comes out. All he has on is a pair of shorts. No shoes. It's wintertime, snowing. And this guy, all he's got on is a pair of shorts. He's got all these bandages all over his chest because he had just got out of jail the night before. He'd been in there for over a year because he was drunk. And he rear-ended the police chief at the stoplight. Oh, yeah. And he got home out of jail, being over there over a year, and got drunk that night. And his wife caught him on fire with lighter fluid. So he's standing there with shorts and bandages all over him. He said, looks at my dad, and he goes, well, you ain't no cop. My dad goes, no, I'm a preacher, ignorant. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. He said, I'm preaching right over here, and I want you to come hear me tonight. The guy looked at him and said, preacher, look at me. He said, I've been in jail over a year. I don't even have any shoes. My dad said, what size of shoe do you wear? He said, 11D. My dad said, if I give you my shoes, will you come hear me preach tonight? That guy couldn't believe it. He said, if you give me your shoes, I'll be there. My dad takes his shoes off, his brand new shoes. Not the holes. And walks back across the street to the evangelist quarters in his socks. That night, that man comes to church. He comes down to the front. My dad lays hands on him. God fills him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They baptize him in Jesus' name. And while they're about to baptize him, his wife is possessed with a demon and runs up there. And my dad casts the devil out of her. Come on, we still had dominion over the devil. We don't have to wrestle them, fight them. Come on. I don't know where all this stuff come from. Ah! Ride them around like it's a ride at Six Flags. We just invoke the name of Jesus. He cast the devil out of her. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. It was about 8 or 9 years later. This man got a terminal disease, and his wife died first of a terminal disease. And about 3 months later, he died. And they said his only request was my dad preach his funeral. And my dad tried to get there before he passed away. And the doctor told my father, he said, we don't know what he was saying. He just kept speaking in some language that nobody understood. Woo! My father preached his funeral in the very next revival. He's walking through the Galleria Mall in Houston, very high-end mall. They were just him and my mom just walking around. And he walked by this glass case, and there was a pair of shoes in there, $2,700. My dad's exact words, he told me, was, well, that's way out of my pay grade. Him and my mom just kept on walking. He got through preaching that night, and a man came up to the altar weeping. Said, Brother Mahaney, in the prayer room tonight, God showed me a pair of shoes, and he told me to take you and buy them. Of course, you know, my dad said, well, it's up to your pastor. Don't you buy nothing for anybody that doesn't clear it with your pastor. And The pastor said, go buy him whatever he wants. They would get out of the car and walk straight to that glass case. He said, Brother Mahaney, that's the shoes God told me to buy you. My dad said he walks out of that store, got them shoes in the box, thinking, my goodness, what is going on? And an audible voice spoke to him and said, I've never forgotten the shoes, Charlie. Now, I want you to listen. He never bought another pair of shoes again. I've got those shoes. I used to preach out of them, and I set them up. They're right by my desk. And I'm just going to tell you, I hardly ever buy shoes. Brother Schoonover, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed. It dawned on me. Because of his righteousness, I'm living in the overflow. That's why I want to be righteous. I want my family to live in the overflow. God is looking through this place right now. Can you move this? God is looking through this place right now. And the thing about God is he doesn't see all your shortcomings. He sees who he created you to be. And he wants these righteous men to leave this place and stir up a revival in the district of Washington unlike has ever been seen before. I want to talk one more minute and I'm done. Pastors, listen to me. I've had people say, do you feel that when you come into Washington? No, I don't. I don't feel oppressed. I feel victory. Amen. From the very first time I stepped foot on this ground, I'm not afraid of the devil, so I don't worry about feeling him. I felt a victory burning inside of me. Listen, I feel that same feeling right here in this place. Quit talking about how, oh, I can't do it. I'm under oppression. No, you're not. Come on, you're a man of God. The devil's just trying to get you to look at a Babylonish garment so he can take the things of the church and God from you. Come on, you need to say, I'm victorious. What you speak out is what you're going to get. I want us to find us a place and come up front. Move some chairs back. This is going to be a little different. But I want you to try this more. I want us, all of us men, to get in as close as we can. If y'all don't mind, stand up for a minute. I want us to be able to receive what God's about to give us. Sorry, I should have helped you out. I sensed that when I seen you, Brother Johnson. Now listen, I can't make it on my own. The only way I can stay away from lust, come on, that's our biggest problem. It's our eyes. Look, I worry about you if you don't look at a pretty woman. It's that second and third glance. When you see that pretty woman at the store and you just decide that you need to look again at the hair barrettes so you can come back and look at her again. That's when lust is conceived. But I can't make it on my own. I've got some powerful men in my life. My pastor, now you hear me, is the strongest voice in my life. Can never be replaced. But I have some men of God in my life that help me. And Brother Huntley's a big reason of who I am right now. And Brother Gleason, Brother Foster, they're men that have prayed over me ever since my father passed away. But there's things that I just can't talk to Brother Huntley about. I'm thankful for my friend Joel Hart. And our Jason Gibson. He's ignorant, but I love him. But I can't make it without them.
Yes, right, amen.
You got to have somebody. Yes. Yes. When you're struggling, that you say, man, pray for me. I'm having a hard time. I'm having this urge to look at things I don't need to be looking at. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, and you can pray, he's not going to cut on the phone and say,
you're never going to believe what Charles Boyd is going through.
If we can ever get that concept that he's not heavy, yes, he's my brother.
Yes.
I'm not going to make it without you, Joel.
Yes.
You've been there for me from the beginning. I thank God for my brethren. I want us to begin to pray for one another. Come on, if you're from the same church, I want there to be a bond that forms. Some of you elders, you need to find some of these young men. You can help guys, and me and you can help guys other people can't. And they're struggling with things. And I want you to be used by the Holy Ghost. I want us to lift our hands first. Come on. And I want us to begin to repent and cleanse our vessel right now. In the name of Jesus, cleanse us, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me.
My heart beat thy knees. Oh, Spirit.
Come on, that's it. Repent just for a little while. I want you to open up so you can be a minister and minister to somebody.
From evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idol. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart.
Yes, come on.
Lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be.
God, let us be.
Generation that seeks your face. Oh God, I'm Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face.
All right, I want you to listen to me. Not quenching the Spirit. I just want us, through God's help, to direct the flow of the Spirit just for a minute. You feel that you've been forgiven, lift your hands. If not, we need to repent. Now I want God to place, if you'll ask Him, not just name, but names of people that's in your circle that maybe you've been keeping a distance from without even realizing it spiritually. And I want, when he places those names, I want you to seek him out right now and begin to pray for him. And if God hasn't laid a name on your heart, I want you to just find somebody and begin to pray for him and let them know, look, you're not walking in this alone. Just maybe if Achan would have had a brother there and said, no, put that down, bro. You don't need that. We'd be reading a chapter about Achan in the Bible. Instead of his demise, we'd be reading about his victory. Now I want you to begin to pray one for another. Look, and I'm not talking about some little. I'm talking about in the name of Jesus. God bless my brother. Pray authority over him. Come on, pray a protection over him. Pray for his mind. Pray for his body. Pray for his family. Come on, that's it. Let the body begin to work with each other.
Jesus' name. give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Come on, don't let up. This is how we fight our battles right here. This is our battle cry. Come on, some of you elders, you need to find a young person and begin to pray for them. That's it, Brother C. Graves. Pray for these young men.
When I'm away, Lord, have your way in me.
Hallelujah.
I give you my. I live alone, breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have